Welcome to Lori Jewett Unscripted, the show where we talk to really awesome people and dive deep into their stories to share with you how they uncovered their hidden superpowers so you can learn how to identify and unleash yours. Here's your host, Lori Jewett.
All right, you guys, welcome back. I hope I air some of this in video because you guys need to see my guest dress. Oh my gosh, it's adorable. But so I'm with Vanessa Luther. Vanessa is a supermom author, which I didn't know until she signed up to do this podcast, that she has a book coming soon. So we're definitely going to touch on that. Vanessa, give us a little bit of background. Tell us a little bit about you and then we'll have our conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Lori. So I'm currently a stay-at-home mom. I do have an associate's in psychology. Never went any further with that because I realized that I only went to school to try and fix myself and not really deal with anybody else's problems. I really thought that I wanted to work with underprivileged youth and just kind of like be a mentor for them. And then I realized I was like, I don't need a degree to do that. Like I can do that now. So, and then I have two beautiful children, married to my husband. We've been together for 19 years, married for 17 of them. And just recently moved to Dallas, 2 years ago. So it's recent enough for us. And Texas has been fabulous to us. So it's been really good. I enjoy it. And then I did write a children's book that I'm going back and forth between illustration situations. Like I have this idea in my head and then it doesn't go down quite the way I want it to. And then I'm like, okay, wait, no, let me redo this. And I just have to be like, okay, just do it.
Just imperfect action. My second book, it's a journal and coloring book combo. And I put it off for like almost a year because I decided before my book released last July, I'm like, I'm going to do a doodle page journal and it's going to be great. And then I put it off and put it off and put it off. Well, then I was on the phone with Steve or on a call with Steve Gamlin. I don't know. I think less than a month ago. And he said something that was my like confirmation from God that it needed to happen. Because like that morning I had come up with the idea of the journal coloring book combo. And mm-hmm. then he said something and I'm like, all right, I'm doing it. That day I hired somebody on Fiverr to do the art because I'm not an artist. I know your family is super creative. I've seen your daughter's art, bought some of her stickers and stuff, but I'm not. I draw like stick figures, but within like 2 weeks of that initial conversation, the book was released and my friend Tiffany got a copy of it. She got hers on Wednesday. Mine's not even gonna be here till Friday. And I didn't order copies. I like paid full price to get it. So it's not fair at all. But anyway, and she's like, so yeah, these toucans have teeth and their beaks are closed. And I'm like, you know what? That's a saw beak toucan. They're very rare. So
there you go.
Imperfect action, right? Because I knew if I would be in the same boat if I like tried to like go through every little piece of it. Oh my gosh, it would have been another year. And so this way, it's fun. People are gonna be like, man, did y'all see that weird coloring book that has with teeth?
Yeah. So I think I'm really leaning in the fact that since it's a children's book, I think I'm gonna do very minimal illustrations and allow the kids to really be the illustrator themselves. So they can kind of, my story is about a turtle named Tegan. It's actually a rendition of a story my mom used to tell us when we were younger. And so I had always wanted to put it into a book because we love the story so much. And I thought other kids would like it too. And so I just kind of rewrote it how I remembered it. And then I was like I said, I was trying to do the illustrations. It's of him going to the park with his family and wanting a milkshake on the way there. And like the parents kind of telling him that he could get a milkshake and then all these other things happen. And so I was like, okay, I want the milkshake shop to look like this. And I want this to look like this and so on and so forth. And then I was like, you know what? I'm like, what if I just put like the background illustrations? And instead of trying to figure out what I think Tegan should look like, let the kids draw Tegan themselves. Like they can put Tegan into the story. And So that's basically, I think that's what the way I'm going to go is basically it'll be written by me, illustrated by you. Yeah. And I've had a lot of people say the same thing. They're like, oh my gosh, my kid would just love that. My kid would eat that up. And so I'm like,
love that.
That's what my daughter said too. She was like, I love that idea, mom. She's like, cause she's like you said, she's a really good artist. And I tried to get her to help me illustrate the book. Cause I was like, that would, she's done a couple book covers for a few people that we know, you know, Wiley MacArthur. She did his book cover for the 52 Mind Hacks, or I can't remember what the name of it was, but she did that. She's done some business logos for some people that were a part of the Apex community and whatnot. And she's kind of given up on it, like helping other people. And I'm like, you need to just keep going. Like, I've never met an artist that thinks their work is great. Like, it's very rare, I think, that you find somebody that's like, oh, look at this artwork I did. It's fabulous. I'm so proud of it. And then their friends are like, dude, that's a great piece of art. And they're like, no, like, look at how horrible this is. I didn't do this right. I didn't do that right. And their friends are just like, oh my gosh, no, like, it's great. It should be like in this museum, or it should be here. And you're just looking at them like, okay, you're crazy. Like, you don't know art. So that's really where I think I'm going with the book. And then I have started kind of a second book about an elephant. And at some point in the book, she will meet Tegan. So Tegan the turtle and my elephant will kind of become friends. And then I'm like, okay, well, if I start this, like, now I have to start this whole series of different animals that come together and meet each other. And so that all the books kind of connect together somehow. It's just a matter of finding that, picking it back up and getting the writing, you know, down. And then, like I said, all the books will probably be illustrated by the reader instead of by me.
That's so creative. And I absolutely love it, because it not only will it be something they cherish when they're young, but that seems to me, now granted, I'm like a total hoarder, I admit it, but that sounds like something that would go, even like normal people that aren't complete hoarders would like to save for the future and like pass down, you know.
Yeah,
this was your mom's or grandma's artwork, you know, she drew pictures in this. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. It's different, and I haven't seen it. The other thing that I'd like to do is, I think it'd be really cool if I could provide the pencils or something, like at least your basic colors to go with the book. But self-publishing, I like how to quite do that myself.
Yeah. And see, I thought about that because mine is like a journal coloring
book. So we'll see. Just got to work it in.
Yeah. Just got to figure that out somehow. I thought about that same thing. But, because the journal.
Other than that.
Yeah. As usual, we're having Wi-Fi. Yeah. My listeners are used to it. They're like, oh, yay, the Wi-Fi's cutting out. It must be beautiful and sunny. although it's funny. I think I just heard the thunder a couple minutes ago on your end. So it's stormy at your house. It's beautiful here. And I'm the one with the Wi-Fi issues. But no, I love the creativity of it. And if you can find a way to include the like colored pencils or crayon or whatever, I think that'd be really cool. Cause I would love to do that for mine too. But I love it. And I love that you have a very creative family. Like, I've seen your daughter's artwork. I've seen, you know, things that your husband does and that you've, you know, we're talking about the book. So I am not creative, but everybody else in my family is. So I use their creativity to, I'm like, oh, I come up with these great ideas. Like right now I went and bought a grandfather clock, except we went and picked it up today. And I understood why I got it for $30, because it's like particle board. It's not a real grandfather.
Oh, okay.
Which is fine. Like, whatever, we'll figure it out. My husband's like, we can't waterproof that. And I'm like, I bet you can. Actually, I said, I bet you we can. And then I said, I mean, you.
Anyway. Yeah. All my tech stuff I go to Josh for. I'm like, hey, this isn't working. Can you like figure this out? And it'll be the simplest thing that I just didn't think to do. And he'll be like, see, you could have done it. And I'm like, okay, but it gets frustrating where like this morning I made waffles for the kids and our daughter was like, she's like, Mom, you're officially the waffle and pancake maker in the house. She's like, Dad shouldn't make waffles or pancakes anymore. And I was like, and then he had like called me right after and he's like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I just finished making waffles and for the kids. And he's like, oh yeah. And I was like, by the way, you got fired. And he's like, from what? And I was like, from making pancakes or waffles. And he's like, good. He's like, because I don't really like that job. He's like, it's not my best. It's not my best asset. He's like, I'm not good in that area. And he's like, so now I know you have to make waffles and pancakes. And I was like, okay, sounds great.
See, I can't believe that your daughter doesn't do the like the pancake art, you know, how they like they've got the reels. I bet she would be so good at that.
She probably would be really, really good at it. But we're pretty sure it has ADHD too. And so like her patience level just
I think
not fair to do it.
I think that's why I'm not artistic, because I get bored. Like I doodle and draw my little pictures and stuff, but when it's so funny, you mentioned ADHD, because I'm like, every time I get on a Zoom call, I make sure that I have enough things because when I first started the podcast, it's not that I get bored when I'm on. I need to be moving. And so like one of the reasons I didn't start airing a video is because I did this nonstop. I was constantly moving my head. And at that time, Sebastian was producing my podcast and he's like, you can't do video when you're moving around like that. And I'm like, well, I can't not. And now my like fidget response thingies, I guess, have changed, which is really
okay.
Maybe I can air in video a little bit.
Nice.
But yeah, no, I totally get that with the, you know, the ADHD, because and my problem is I get addicted to hobbies and then I get bored with them. So it's like, I'm so into whatever it is. Like, I was talking to somebody the other day and they said something about stamping. I don't know. And I'm like, oh, I have about 400 Stampin' Up! Stamp sets downstairs. I don't think it's that many, but it's not far
back.
And they're like, wait, why? And I'm like, because like 14 years ago, I was really into it. And why don't you sell it? Well, because I might be into it again. Like,
right?
You never met an ADHD hoarder? Like, what's wrong with you people? Of course they keep everything.
That sounds like our household. A lot of times Josh picks up a lot of hobbies or I'll pick up something. And I've started to learn to part with things. Like, I'm like, okay. I picked up making earrings out of like those mini brands, little things like the mystery mini brand things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm going to make earrings and whatnot out of that. And then I think I really got a little bit discouraged because I started to see a lot of other people doing it as well. And then, so I started getting rid of a whole lot of that stuff. And then I was like, wait a second. I'm like, why am I getting rid of it? Because other people are selling, you know, like, I can still sell the same thing. I just have to figure out how to market myself differently, you know? And so I'm pretty sure I have an idea on that. Now that we're into our new place and once we get officially settled, we've literally been here for like less than a week. So we're not settled in. But once we get settled in, I can actually start working more on making more and posting. And the way I'm going to sell them is definitely different than most people sell their things. And I think it will be a hit because it'll give the buyer more options to get what they really want. And so I'm like, for right now, I'm keeping that secret before I.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that no one else steals it. Granted, I'm sure there's somebody else out there that probably thought the same thing and is doing the same thing, but I just don't know them and haven't met them yet. And I don't care.
Well, and you know what? There's billions of people in the world. Like there's room for everybody. It's like, it's that whole like, you know, abundance mindset.
Mm-hmm.
There's tons of people that will buy those kind of earrings. And, you know, there's enough for everybody to go around.
Yeah. And it's nice because I can make my own because I do have a collection of crazy earrings. I just after COVID, I bought myself a pair of toilet paper earrings. It's like they're on this chain and it's just a little roll of toilet paper. And I was a security guard at a local high school in Florida and I would change my earrings every day. I made sure to have something different on. And a lot of the kids noticed, and they'd come up and they'd be like, Miss Vanessa, what earrings are you wearing today? What do you have in? And the one day I did wear the toilet paper earrings to school, they were like, they're like, you really need to put poop on one side and pee on the other side. I was like, no, I am not putting.
Draw the line there.
Draw the line. I'm like, but then I have some ones that are like, I can't remember what they're called. But do you, I don't know if you're familiar with Garbage Pail Kids. Okay.
I'm an 80s baby.
Yeah, I know, but typically a lot of 80s kids, some of them don't know. I'm like, wait, you've never seen Garbage Pail Kids? Like, you don't remember the like disgusting Cabbage Patch dolls? And they're like, no, I don't remember those. Well, there was a brand of mini brands that came out, and they're kind of like, they remind me of Garbage Pail Kids, because instead of it being Elpo dog food, it's Elpoo dog food and like Unlucky Charms. So I have a whole bunch of earrings that are like these little mini brands of like different wacko crackers and stuff like that. But it's one of the things that I was known for. And I'd like just change my earrings out all the time. And it was a nice feeling because it made the kids come up and be like, hey, what's going on? What do you have going on today? And they just talked to me, and it was a good way for me to get to know them, especially in the job that I was doing, you know. They started to trust me, and some of the guys that I worked with had been doing the same job for years, and they're like, why are you talking to these kids? Like, you shouldn't be having conversations with them. And I'm like, okay. But then big things would happen, and I would know exactly who to go to. And you know what? Those kids that trust, they would tell me, they would be like, oh yeah, so-and-so. And look here, it's on Snapchat. It's on here. It's on here. And they would show me, and I'd be like, I'd be able to go to our officer and be like, hey, you want to call in this kid, and this kid, because they have proof on their phones that this actually took place and who all was involved. And then they would know that I was the one that like put them on the spot, but they were never mad at me. They like understood. And I wasn't like the other guys who were just like, let's go. You're in trouble. And I'm like, I'm not about making their life miserable. Like, kids are going to be kids, and they're going to do stupid stuff. I mean, we've all been there and done that.
100%.
And it's like respecting them, you know. I'm like, I want them to respect me, so I should respect them. Just because they're younger than me doesn't mean that they don't deserve respect from an adult, just like we deserve respect from them. And that's how you get, like, in my opinion, that's how you get it. If you give it, you get it. And I know a lot of people are like, respect is earned, and it is, but at the same time, like, if you're not respecting those around you, they're not going to respect you, and you can't expect them to, if you're not willing to treat them with the same dignity and integrity that you expect from them. You know, you have to be giving it yourself to get it back.
Absolutely. And it's funny that you brought up that job that you had, because in this whole conversation, because a couple years ago, maybe it was last, I think it was year before last, there was a school resource officer at my daughter's high school, and everybody loved him. He would get down and do push-up contests with the boys in the hallway, and just, there was a great relationship there. And exact same thing like you're saying, like the kids felt, my daughter would feel comfortable going to him and saying, hey, this is what's happening. You might want to go send somebody to the bathroom because there's three people vaping in there or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And now they have, you know what, that must have been 2 years ago, because this lady was there last year. But now they have a female resource officer, and nothing against her, but I haven't heard my daughter mention her since she first started. And this other officer, she would, you know, they just called him by his last name. I don't remember what it is now, but, and she would, you know, talk about how he was goofing off in the hallways and things like that. It's incredibly important to have that relationship. And I have clients that do that job as well. I have a lot of clients, police officers, and they do that on the side. And it's about having that relationship. And I want to, before we like segue away from this, I want to touch on one thing that I noticed when you're talking about the earrings. It's the little things, right? For kids, you never know what these kids have going on at home. There's absolutely no telling what's going on at home. Them looking forward to coming and seeing you and checking out your cool earrings of the day literally could have kept them going. Like, that sounds ridiculous, but sometimes it is the smallest things that,
yeah,
you know, Miss Vanessa you know, likes me. Miss Vanessa will talk to me knowing it. So those earrings, you literally, and it's, I talk about the butterfly effect or snowball effect or whatever all the time on here, but you never know the impact. There's no way that you'll know the impact you wearing toilet paper earrings might have.
Yeah. So incredibly true. A lot of the kids, I was in a school that a lot of the kids that were there were actually like, based on conversation, I found out that they were like expelled from another school and this was like their last option. And so they kind of had no choice but to be on their best, even though they didn't want to be there. And a lot of the kids would come down and they would talk to me, you know, and I told them, I was like, listen, I know I'm a security guard and I'm not a guidance counselor. And they're like, oh, screw the guidance counselors. And I'm like, why? And they're like, because every time I go in there to talk to them about anything serious, they just tell me that I need to focus on my work and get prepared for college. And, you know, I don't want to go to college. I don't want to. And I'm like, okay, well, what do you want to do? And I'd have a lot of kids that were like, I want to go into a trade school. And I'm like, well, then go to a trade school. Like, just because the guidance counselor to tell you something, I was like, I'm really, I apologize that they're not doing more than pushing college on you and like doing good grades. I'm like, because in my experience and my knowledge, guidance counselors aren't supposed to just be there to push the academic portion of school. They're actually supposed to be there for that emotional support for kids that are going through things at home or in the school. And I'm noticing more and more nowadays that that's not the case. They're really just there, like they're just pushing academics. And it's sad that as a security guard at the school, like I started to become a safe haven for a handful of students that were like, hey, I'm having this issue. Can I just sit here with you and talk? And a lot of times I'd be like, or they were having an issue with a teacher and they would be like, Miss Vanessa, I'm about to punch my teacher in the face. Can I just sit with you? And I'm like, absolutely. And then the principal would come out and they'd be like, they'd call the student and they'd be like, what are you doing down here? I'm like, I would look at the principal. I'd be like, she's fine. He's fine. And the principal would be like, well, they need to be in class. And I'm like, no, class isn't a really good place for them right now because they're angry and they're having issues. I said, so I'm giving them a hall pass. And the principal would like, look at me. And I'm like, I promise they're going to go to their next period. And they're going to go down and get their work from the last class. And I would make sure, and like teachers would come up to me and they're like, what do you do? How do you, I don't understand. And I'm like, I treat them like a person. Like I treat them how I would want to be treated. You know, I would want somebody to understand that like I'm having a bad day. So like, just let me be. Like kids have bad days. Like, I don't know what goes on in their house in the morning. And what if, you know, dad just left or they got into an argument with mom or dad over something stupid. And maybe they did start it, you know, because they didn't listen to mom or they didn't listen to dad. And then they got, you know, so now they come to school and they're angry. They're upset because of the situation. We're allowed to have bad days. And I know growing up, I wasn't taught that. I wasn't taught that I was allowed to have a bad day. And I think that's where a lot of us 80s babies have a lot of our disconnect is because we were taught that we have to just push through and that you're not allowed to have downtime. You're not allowed to have bad situations and be upset. You have to just push forward. And now we're all kind of messed up, you know, and realizing now that, hey, it's okay to step back and sit in the funk, understand what's going on, and then move forward, not just push past and like brush it off.
Yeah. And, you know, and I will be very transparent. I struggled with this for a little while. It, not for long, but there was a time period that's like, I don't understand why my kid is acting out. Like, and she's an awesome kid. Like literally, absolutely. I asked her this morning, I said, how do we get so lucky to have such a great kid? And she said, because I have great parents. And I'm like, oh my God, I love you. What do you want? Right. We're not getting more horses. So, but you know, I used to be frustrating. Like, why is she acting this way? Why is she slamming doors? And then 2 days later, I would get mad and slam a door. And I'm like, because she's human, right? They're allowed to. We expect way too much. And I say we because I've been there. And I'm human, so I will go there again, I'm sure. But, you know, we expect so much out of our kids that we forget sometimes that, one, they're human. And two, they don't have the experiences and the emotional capacity, and their brains aren't fully formed yet. Like the neuro, whatever. I don't know. My therapist used technical terms one day to explain it.
Like, yeah.
It's not the stuff up there that needs to be formed isn't formed yet. So, of course, they're hormonal. They're getting used to peopling. And
yep.
I think that there's a lot of educators. I'm seeing more and more educators that are positive in this way, but a lot of educators expect that from the kids. They expect them to sit still and, you know, be no, like some of them are like me. Like yeah. I don't know how I made it through school without fidgets. I'm sure I like
exactly
or something.
That's our daughter too. Like kindergarten, we had a teacher that halfway through the school year pulled us in. She was like, oh, we need to have a meeting. You know, I want to talk to you about Nadine. And we go in and the school psychologist was there with her. Like, we weren't told the psychologist was going to be there, like whatnot. And then they sat us down and they were like, look, we think she needs to be medicated because she is too talkative and she's getting up and down out of her seat and she's not focusing. And I'm like, okay, she's in kindergarten. Like, she's supposed to be doing this stuff, you know? And I know it's frustrating, but in my head, I really wanted to tell the teacher, like, maybe you shouldn't be teaching this grade. Why don't you teach a grade where they don't want anything to do with you. And so they do sit there and be quiet and they're doing their own thing. Like, maybe you should be teaching high school. Like, kindergarten's not the class for you if you want people that are going to stay in their seats and whatnot. But it was really frustrating because it's like, that was just what, 2007, 2008 situation. Like, I don't know. It's frustrating to see these kids, these teachers, but now I'm seeing more of it on TikTok where the teachers are, you know, being really positive with the kids and being understanding. I can't remember the name of the lady and I really wish that I could, but I've been following her for quite some time. I actually found her on Facebook at first and then TikTok, but she has like a care closet in her room and it's open to anybody in the school. And she has kids that comes in, like she has deodorant, she has extra shoelaces, hair ties, notebooks, pencils, socks, extra underwear, things like all that, all the stuff, snacks, and anybody can come in at any time and take what they need. And it got so popular to the point that they now have like care stations set up throughout her elementary school. That have deodorant, hair ties, things that a lot of the kids come and ask for on a regular basis. And she even has a spot in the back of her class if a student just needs quiet time where they can come in and they can just sit in this space and just have what they need. And, you know, they let her know where they like where they were coming from and whatnot so that she can let the teacher or whoever know, hey, so-and-so is here. And I'm like, man, if I had this when I was a kid, if I had, you know, my parents weren't very wealthy. And so a lot of the stuff I had was like hand-me-down stuff. And sometimes I didn't get to brush my hair in the morning or I didn't brush my teeth or things of that nature. And so to be able to go to school and know that a teacher had my back if I didn't have it. Or, you know, I've seen high schools where they have laundromat access for students that don't have access to a washer and dryer. You know, they can come to the school certain days of the week and, hey, come in, do your laundry. The school provides the soap and everything, and it doesn't cost them anything, you know? And those schools have seen, I mean, obviously the school with the laundromat is in a low poverty area. but they have seen an increase in the number of students that are now coming to school instead of missing school because they have access to clean their clothes without anybody questioning them. Or, you know, and it's just like, it's amazing to see, like, the more that the adults can do for the kids to see the positive outcome for them. And I'm like, man, I always go back and I'm like, I like close my eyes when I see something that really hits me. And I'm like, let me think about how this would have been for myself. And I'll close my eyes and I'll just try and picture child me getting these things taken care of and not having to feel guilty because I had to come to school in whatever I could grab because my dad was in a fight with my mom or my sister in the morning. And because unfortunately I did come from a pretty abusive household. And so there was a lot of times that I was a loner. Like I, first of all, I was the tall kid in school. So like I was as tall as all the other boys. And so I got made fun of because I wasn't the same size as the girls in class. And then, sometimes I'd come into school and I'd have a fat lip because the night prior my dad, you know, hit me because we didn't pick up all the dirt off the floor or whatever the case was. And I mean, obviously I wasn't going to school and telling people, oh, my dad, you know, smacked me or whatever. But now I can talk about it because it's made me who I am. You know, and at one point in time in my life, I definitely was very much like my dad, not physically abusive, but verbally abusive. And now I see it like it caused a lot of issues early on in our relationship after we had our daughter, because I would just get so frustrated and I would just yell my head off. And now looking back at it, like I feel guilty and I, you know, felt really bad about that situation. And then I've over the last probably 2-3 years now, I've really shifted my being as, you know, and focusing on being more of a gentle parenting, like understanding that I can still be firm with my kids, but I don't have to yell at them. I don't have to raise my voice. Does it still happen? Absolutely. Because, you know, we all make mistakes. We're not, none of us will ever be perfect. But I can definitely see the difference that it has. And even me changing, it's brought my daughter and I closer together. Like for a long time, we were very distant. Like we weren't the best of friends. And now she tells me a lot of things that I never expected her to share with me. And she always shared a lot of stuff with Josh. Like I used to get jealous so bad because those two were like this and he would know things before I did. And I'm like, in my head, that's not how this is supposed to go. Like mom is supposed to know this stuff first. But now there's some things that I get to know before dad does. And it's nice. But I appreciate the relationship I get to have with my daughter now because I see things differently and I'm changing who I am as a person or who I was as a person and becoming a better version of myself. And we can do that every day. Like you're never going to be at your best version. There's always going to be a better version of you. And it's just a matter of wanting to keep working to become that person. And I'm really enjoying it. Like I'm enjoying seeing the changes myself and then also hearing my family be like, hey, I'm really proud of you because I've noticed you're not doing this anymore, or you've really stepped up your game in this area and I really appreciate it. So just seeing that and like having everything, and I'm like, this makes such a difference on not only yourself, but the people around you. And I'm like, man, if society could just be more like this, if we could teach this in school, like forget the base. I mean, like, let's teach math and English, but like history, I don't know why we need to know the past about, I mean, we do to a certain extent, but like,
let's just like skills that they need that they don't get that would.
Yes. Yes. I'm like, I wish my daughter would have been able to take like home ec, and I'm like, they don't teach kids how to cook anymore. Or like, I know it's a life skill that you should be learning at home, but at the same time, I didn't learn to cook at home. I learned to cook in home ec class, and that's where I got my confidence to cook at home.
Yeah, the only thing I learned in home ec was how to take the core out of iceberg lettuce. That's the only thing I remember. I'm sure I learned more, but that's like the one, when I hear the word home ec, I think of lettuce. It's weird, but. Well, I want to make sure you already kind of answered it, but this is not going to be the first time that I don't ask my one question. So I'm going to ask my question, even though you already answered it and you can just give a real brief answer. But what is something that you viewed as a deficit or negative in your life, but eventually realized it was a superpower?
So like you said, I touched on it, basically money aspect, you know, it's given going from what I would now be considered low income. My family was like middle class, but at the same time, like I said, I got a lot of hand-me-downs from like my sister, my cousins, or we pretty much, we had a place called Gabe's. I don't know if everybody has it, but basically it was like, it's a value store that you have to really look at everything. Cause like sometimes, the words on the shirt, like if it was supposed to say FUBU, it might say FUBA instead of FUBU. And so like they were misprinted or damaged items and we bought them at a discount. Like, I mean, you could get a pair of Levi's for like $3, but it might be because it's missing its belt loops or something like that. So like we got a lot of clothes from there and then we shopped at like Hills and Ames, but it definitely has taught me adaptability. In the sense that, you know, I know what it's like to have nothing, but I also know what it's like to have an abundance and be able to afford whatever. And so I know that when tough times come around, I know I can adapt to the surroundings and know, okay, we have to buckle down. This might be a month of ramen. Like we're eating peanut butter and jellies and ramen this month so that we can get ahead, you know, a little bit of sacrifice. And that's something that I think is great to teach our kids too. So while I did not appreciate it growing up, because as kids, you're like, you want the best of everything and you want to be with the Joneses and meet what all the other kids have and whatnot. But in this case, I can look back now and be like, okay, so I didn't have the best of everything, but I still had friends. I still got to go outside and, you know, that was another thing. Like you weren't allowed to be in the house. You know, when we were growing up, it was like, you come home from school, you do your homework and get the heck out. Don't come home until we call you for dinner. And after dinner, leave the house again and don't come home until the streetlights come on. We didn't care. Parents didn't care where you were, what you were doing. I mean, I'm sure they did, but at least in the neighborhood I grew up in, everybody knew everybody. And so if you did something wrong, the neighbor was definitely calling somebody who knew your parents' phone number.
They would find out for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And you were getting a butt whooping when you got home. That was for sure. There was no ands, ifs, or buts about it. But yeah, definitely, you know, like I said, growing up in that lower income household and just knowing, like, even groceries. It was funny because my dad was like a name brand grocery guy. And my mom would actually save the name brand boxes and then put store brand product in the boxes. And I mean, my dad's probably rolling over in his grave now because I don't think he ever knew that. But my mom did do it because we were a family of six with a dog and we were given $100 a week for groceries. And those groceries also had to include like my dad's cigarettes, his iced tea and his stuff. So by the time we purchased all of those things and whatnot, there wasn't very much money left to purchase food for the rest of the house. So my mom had to skimp where she could. And, you know, thankfully, like I said, my dad, I don't think ever knew, but it was like the greatest. And we would keep track of like the expiration dates on the boxes. So like she would know when she had to go ahead and buy a new name brand box because that cereal was about to expire.
That's creative though. And I love that. So before we run out of time, I want to, where's the best place for people to find you?
Facebook or Instagram. Facebook most likely is the best place, and it's under Vanessa Lammert Luther. A lot of times people actually have to look up Josh to find my profile. I don't know. I don't think Facebook likes me. And then on Instagram, I'm under, I believe it's Inked in Pink. So, but I'm sure if you type in Vanessa Luther, you can find it. And it's VENESSA, not VA. A lot of people.
I was looking you up to message you earlier and it said that we never messaged. And I'm like, I know we have. And yep. Okay.
Yep. So my parents had Facebook to be difficult.
Your last name, and that's how I found you. That's why.
Yeah. My parents had to be difficult. My spelling is, I believe it's very popular in Germany. So it's, I've only ever met one other Vanessa spelled the same way as me, and she is from Germany. Oh. And that's where she said VE and VI over there are very popular. That's what I've been told. So I don't know if it's true. I never researched it myself, but I just know that I'm different here.
Well, and that's a good thing, right? You're unique.
Yes, exactly.
Well, this has been absolutely awesome. You guys make sure you go follow her on Facebook or Instagram, whichever one. I'm a Facebook person though. I have Instagram. I just never log in.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I scroll it occasionally, but I use Facebook to get all my news and information.
Yeah, I don't even know how to scroll Instagram. I'm going to have my kid teach me one of these days. But anyway, this has been awesome. You brought a ton of value. I absolutely have enjoyed chatting with you. We'll have to do it again soon.
Absolutely. I would love to. Thank you for having me on my first podcast. So exciting.
Well, you did awesome. And I am, I'm grateful you came on. And you guys, thank you for tuning in again. And we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Lori Jewett Unscripted. Make sure you subscribe and follow so you don't miss an episode. As always, please share this with someone that needs to hear it. We'll be back next week with another interesting superhero.